very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
turn.
Your fingers or your
king doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one.
Super girls.
Your fingers or your
tongue. I am
the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. My name's Bubba. You can reach me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. This is where we break down your feedback from the seventh episode of the sixth season of HBO's Game of Thrones, based on George R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire saga. We're going to be taking your feedback, and there's so much I actually did have to trim some this week. Plus, we'll be having the Better Call calls. That's where we predict, guess, we look into the flames and see what could possibly happen in the three remaining episodes. We're going to try to break down what's going on in Braavos with Arya. Our normal recap and review episode we record right after seeing the episode once, so some of these great crazy theories that are out there, we didn't even have time to digest or think about when we recorded the recap episode, so we'll be touching a bit on those. Plus, I'm going to have a brand new section today near the end of the podcast, which is a double B. Double B? It's a section I call Book Bitchin'. That's where we're going to look at certain segments of the show from a book reader perspective, but I believe these won't be too spoilerific. I believe they'll be safe for all our double L's, our loyal listeners. I want to start off this podcast with a different double B. Double B again? That's right, it's a Bubba blunder. In our recap and review podcast about the Broken Man, I kept referring to the people that Brother Ray and the Hound were hanging out with as the equivalent of Quakers, and referred to a wonderful movie from the 80s, Witness. And Pat Spinagle, at Patman23, he gave me a shame bell tweet. Shame, because technically the movie Witness was about the Amish, not Quakers. And I knew I was screwing this up at the time, but I didn't edit it out. Shame, shame, shame. Shame, shame, shame on me.
I'm telling mother.
We got some wonderful, nice words about the Joffrey podcast this week. I believe this is a new Twitter person. It's Benners, who's at Tweeting Benners. That's B-E-N-N-E-R-S. Said, our king is wise. Well, tell me about it, Benners. He's really enjoying the double J's, Joffrey Japes, and the Better Call calls. Keep up the great work. We also had this great note from Arthur on Facebook. He said, here is a triple L, triple L, a lucky loyal listener. Lucky, for he found and listened to this fantastic podcast for the first time when you cried the whole time when King Joffrey, first of his name, faked his death. Ooh, that was a painful episode to watch. Bubba and Catfish act just like double S's. What? Sniffling Starks. Well, when we thought the show was going to kill his grace, of course we were sad. He says, that was a confusing podcast. In hindsight, we were trying to confuse the evil usurpers so Joffrey could get out there and wipe them out. Keep up the good work about the good King Joffrey, once and future king. And that's from Arthur, who's in Sunnyvale, California. Sunnyvale, so you know Arthur's making money, baby. We also had a great note from Tessa on Facebook, who said the podcast made her laugh right as she was having a drink and coffee came out her nose. Yikes! She says, after all the show's unfunny attempts at eunuch jokes, she thinks the producers Dan and Dave just need to acknowledge their failure and bring in the professionals, Catfish and Bubba. Oh, if you saw what we got paid, you'd see we are completely amateurs. We got some great feedback about this episode, The Broken Man, as well as season 6 overall. True Double L on Twitter, Write a Revolution, who's at Write a Revo, said they're liking the fast pace of season 6, but it did feel a bit of a rush this week, trying to think cram it things in, going from A to B. Huh. On the flip side is True Double L Jean Martinique, who believes that this episode, he gave it 4 out of 10s, and he said these leftover episodes of Game of Thrones, he has no hope, question mark. He believes that Arya reminds her of an episode of Person of Interest. Is this real or simulation? Our double L up north, Tia Cookie, who's at Terrible_Tia, she said, there are so many straight-up queens in Westeros right now. Forget the first men. We're coming up on the last men. Aw, snap. another great Twitter follower, at Lil Andy or Jenny. She gave the episode 7 out of 10, what she likes to call double E's. Huh? Eviscerated entrails. Ouch. Davos plus Lady Mormont equals all the feels. Sandor, you can just call him an axe owner. And Arya should have needled that no one. Well, maybe episode 8 will give us a double N, a needled no one. Romy, who's at the Kindly Boy on Twitter, he gave the Broken Man episode a 62, huh? Because it would have been 10 times as good if it had included His Grace King Joffrey. Rotating up the scale is important, Romy, that's true. And now let me say this correctly. Roisin, a.k.a. Rosie the Clever, a.k.a. at Roisin Gleason on Twitter. That's R-O-I-S-I-N Gleason on Twitter. She believes the Broken Man equals Theon. Not the Hound, who we might have thought. But it's also possibly the Brotherhood without Banner. Are they filled with Broken Men? Why does she say that? She says because Sandor the Hound is not broken. Love that, Roisin. Love it, love it, love it. If only for me getting another chance to practice pronouncing your name, Roisin. And Jonathan Teglin is having a crazy Better Call Call. He says, wouldn't it be a twist if everyone gets out of season 6 alive and happy? Let me tell you something. I'll have an early Better Call Call right now, Jonathan. I think this next episode, episode 8, is going to feature a King's Landing massacre. All right, we talked about this Arya storyline, her getting stabbed like a Stark, and how it felt out of the blue, and how because our Instant Take podcast didn't let us get into the crazy wackiness, there's a lot of it right now. At Lil Andy or Jenny, they said their Better Call Call, they hope Arya doesn't die, but instead steals a face to hide from the faceless men instead.
Many important matters require King's attention.
I will say this. We did get someone who's given us some great comments in our Periscope at Fort Worth Vikes fan. That's FT Worth Vikes fan. And he asked, is Jockin Joffrey?
Let me say this.
Huh? Bring it. Bring it.
That's the only person he could be. We never saw Jockin and Joffrey in the same room at the same time, did we?
No. And even if we did.
Yes.
I mean, it could just be different face action.
Right. Right. So what I'm thinking is that Jockin could be Joffrey. And this is to test a double S, a surly Stark, to see if she is truly reformed. Some people have said, is Joffrey now the Mountain in some way, like Joffrey's head is on Sir Gregor's.
Right.
And some people have said it's Jockin Joffrey. The great thing is that all you double L's loyal listeners are seeing Joffrey everywhere. Love it.
Well, that's the great thing. And also, I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of confusing things going on. But the real parlor game here is,
yeah,
is which one of these people is Joffrey. That's why they could only do 16 more episodes, because they're like, we can't hide for much longer, right, who actually Joffrey is. Is it Jockin? Is it Sir Franken Gregor?
Right.
Who is it? Now, Dooley's Left Legs asks a great question.
Let's hear it.
Is there anyone we forgot about possibly hanging around Braavos to save her, like Gendry in his rowing boat?
There's no way you can row across the narrow sea. Yes, it's called narrow, but it is a sea.
What if
could he have ended up there?
A ship,
sure. Okay, yeah.
And they towed his boat behind the ship the whole time.
Possibly. Hey, possibly. Anything's possible.
Okay,
that's
great.
For sure.
The king.
At the Uncle Q says, the Nilla waif let hatred cloud her judgment. Now, the Uncle Q is sounding like the Uncle Y.
Yoda, judgment clouded it is. Clouded by hatred, judgment is.
Uncle Q continues, Jockin told her not to let Arya suffer, but Waif wanted a girl to suffer. Yeah, Waif went for the gut stab. Didn't get the job done quickly. A girl is suffering. Jockin is what he likes to call a double date. Huh? Oh, discreetly displeased. So the Uncle Q's Better Call Call is that Jockin's going to save Arya, or he could say, what about a WTF moment if it's the actress lady who saves her? Valor Morghulis anyway. Am I right? Good point, Uncle Q. And sure enough, Sean Gregan agrees with Uncle Q. He says the old actress lady saves her. We got a great Butter Call Call from at Sundial Framing, all one word, Sundial Framing on Twitter. John writes, Arya cauterizes her wound with double D? deadly dragon fire. I think that would cauterize a wound and cook to a crisp. That's when you tell the waiter you want the steak done well. Tia Cookie says, besides all the pomp, the thing that makes her wonder about whether it was Ari or not is that she didn't see the sword needle. WTF! Sean Gregan, if you've been following the spoilers out there, he believes it's going to be an Arya Durden situation, a.k.a. the first rule of Fight Club is don't talk about the Fight Club spoiler. I told Sean on Twitter that the first rule of the Faceless Men is sweep the floor, because that seems what they made Arya do. Let's swing over to King's Landing, which, like I said, I believe is going to have a massacre coming up, if not in Episode 8, really soon, but I think in this next Episode 8. Sarvesh tweeted out, he asked this question, will Margaery use the marriage bed as the carrot to entice Tommen away from the faith after Loras's release? Whew! Well, she's got to get Loras released right now. And Tommen, let me just put it this way, he's having to pet Sir Pounce by himself because he's not getting any lovin'. Now, our great friend Jack Klompas, who's at BTMac11 on Twitter, he tweeted out the High Sparrow was the fashion inspiration for Seattle bands in the 1990s. But I have to be honest, Black Hole Sun Soundgarden, I hate their music, but I think they bathed more than the High Sparrow. Ouch. Rosie the Clever. So she says Marjorie's on what she likes to call a double S.
Double S?
Sex strike. She's loyal to House Tyrell. Hell yes. Love it. That is exactly what Marjorie's on. Excellent.
Well,
Rosie the Clever.
That brings up a good question that we didn't talk about before.
Okay.
Is that just sort of, I don't want to say it's a red herring, but it was just a way to have the storyline bring up the Sparrow and his kind of dickiness. But the question is, what is her plan to, why is she not having sex with Tommen? Because normally she would, just part of the plan. Okay, I'm going to go along to get along here, look like I'm doing things smart. So I'll just suck it up, so to speak.
I hope this is not offensive in any way,
okay.
But is she perhaps, because she does have this looming threat of her brother Sir Loras down in those cells there at the Sept of Baelor. Does she realize, I've got to keep Tommen on my side. I'm going to hold this over Tommen. Because he's kind of gone full in with the High Sparrow, the only leverage I have in this is our sex life. And so is it that?
That still doesn't make any sense. It seems to me like she would be like, okay, everything is going well. I mean, it brought up that great, great, horrible line, but I don't really see the purpose behind it. Red Star asks us another good question,
Okay. Saying,
what is Marjorie's plan with Olenna? Well, I think personally that Marjorie's got sort of a longer con going on. And you know what? Maybe I'm going to answer my earlier question.
Okay.
And her longer con involves she's got to get Tommen onto her side while not letting Tommen know that she's making a move against the High Sparrow. So she's got to manipulate Tommen, and she's going to do it with her hot ladyhood. It's going to be a dangerous plan, and in order to not have anything else held over her head besides her brother, she needs to get Olenna out of town so she doesn't need to keep track of a couple different people.
And so let me say, RedStar_2112, that is a great question. We went over it in the normal podcast recapping the episode. But I think it is a very sweet, it's delivered sweet and innocently, but the High Sparrow is doing a threat. This is,
oh, for sure,
my way or the graveyard. There's
yeah.
No highway. It's this or death. Youch. And so I think Marjorie may be the first one to recognize just how scary this is. How?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. He makes it perfectly clear to her and to anybody who's got any semblance of intelligence whatsoever. I mean, he says her body and soul are in danger. I'd be more concerned about her body again at this point, because that is going to be bad.
John, who's at Sundial Framing on Twitter, wants to know what's up with the triple S's, sexy sand stakes. He's like, won't they take their revenge on the mountain during the trial by combat? Well, let me say, not only has everybody in King's Landing not done anything to get revenge for the death of Myrcella by those triple S's, sexy sand snakes, we saw Tommen ask his uncle slash father slash, at the time, commander of the King's Guard, Jaime, about, hey, has anybody solved the murder of Prince Tristane of Dorne? And I think they've totally forgotten that. And that's about to turn into what I like to call a double C, a cold case. And I had this great tweet from Raquel, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce her last name, but it's at Raquel underscore E-L-S-A-L-H-I. And it was written in Portuguese, and everybody knows how I butcher last names, so let me try to butcher this Portuguese and see what it says. It says, Agulumata a alto padro, por favor, cade o Jofre? Nunca pensi que la serete falta dele? Okay, now I went to Babelfish, and what Raquel tweeted out is, she said, someone please kill the High Sparrow, please. Where is Joffrey? I never thought I'd miss him this much. Well, Raquel, everybody misses him. And by putting in the hashtag Joffrey of Podcast, you're entered to win one of the great prizes. And I mean great, that we're going to be giving away at the end of the season. And if you win, you can take me to task for being so terrible at Portuguese, Raquel. Thank you. The Hound was such a big part of this episode, but very few people were tweeting or Facebooking us questions about the Hound. In fact, I only got one from Sarvesh, who asked, why would the Brotherhood without banners kill all these peaceful villagers? Wouldn't they just raid if they're quote-unquote protecting commoners? Well, Sarvesh, that is a great question. It doesn't seem to make any sense. Even if you're an evil SOB who wants to rob people, which is what this protection slash mob scheme sounded like, slaughtering them is pointless. You get nothing out of it. So, Sarvesh, we're going to have to find out what in the world is going on with the Brotherhood without Banners. Sarvesh turned his attention then to the north, and he said, doesn't House Glover have a point? Amen, Sarvesh, you're right, they've got a great point. And he said, isn't Sansa a Bolton? That's a question, but she is technically, Sarvesh, boy. And then his final question, he wrote, how can she void the Ramsay marriage? How can Sansa void the Ramsay marriage? Well, right now, I think her current plan is not to take him to court so much as to take him to a morgue. I think Sansa intends to annul her marriage or at least become a widow. Staying in the north, our great friends at Geek Girl Soup, they were like, oh, I guess we can cross House Glover off the list. She thinks the next time we see House Glover, they'll be whites, a.k.a. ice zombies. Ooh.
I'm telling Mother.
I've got one for you.
Okay.
We talked about how Davos convinced the Triple L.
Triple L?
Little Lady Lyanna Mormont.
Uh-huh.
He convinced her to join the fight because the dead are coming. In that, Susan Stacy, who's at Black Eyed Lily on Twitter.
Love her.
She has this reasoning. She says, Bear Island is close enough to the wall and what's north of the wall to believe in the threat of the White Walkers. So that could be possible, except, but the show really hadn't shown that.
Except, though, as you said, you know, people who have claimed to have seen the White Walkers, even that far north,
mm-hmm.
have been dismissed as loons.
Oh, yeah.
Or worse, dismissed of their head.
Talking about the northern storyline and how Sansa and Jon couldn't get people to join in. Lord Nine, who's at ninth underscore prince on Twitter, he gave this. He said, is it possible Jon couldn't get any soldiers on his side because he's rocking a man bun?
You know, that is a good point. You know, maybe they're confused because he has such short hair, and they don't find that very manly. It's not very manly to have short hair.
Do you think he could explain it like, they had to cut it off to bring me back from the dead? Why are you so tough?
He should have said that for the guy that said no. He should have said, look, let me explain two things to you. Number one, White Walkers.
Right.
Number two, hello, I'm back from the dead.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that when Jon came back from the dead, remember that one episode, I was like, oh my God, Sansa's coming to her own.
Mm-hmm.
And Daenerys is coming to her own. And Jon is coming to his own. Well, Jon still doesn't feel like he's coming to his own.
No. And Bottoms Up, yeah, in the Periscope said, Jon would have rather died than lose those double L's.
Those double L's?
Luscious locks.
Oh, well. I know there's some people who probably had wished he died instead of losing those double L's. Because the ladies love Jon Snow.
A lot of people were shocked that we haven't gone too far east into Essos recently. Jonathan Teglin tweeted out, he said, "It's the first time Tyrion is absent for two episodes in a row. Have they already set up Meereen to the point where Dany arrives?" Well, Jonathan, I think there's no way that we don't see Tyrion and Meereen again in this episode 8. And I think you can't have Dany just show up and everything be peaceful. Or possibly you could, and shows that Tyrion's plan worked. I suppose that's it. And so that makes her trust Tyrion more. But he's evil Uncle Tyrion. I think some fan is about to get hit with excrement in episode 8. And our everybody's favorite double G, Grumpy Gobert 13 on Twitter, he believes a double P, Perky Priestess, will save Friendzone Ser Jorah. Ooh, that's a great Better Call Call Grumpy.
Now, Geek Girl Soup, they have a question for you, Catfish. I want to.
Oh, is it for me?
Yeah, they do. They say, who said this line?
Oh, God.
Now, the line is, yeah, so you got to really know the show or the books.
Oh,
so you ready, Catfish?
Okay,
this
right.
is tough for you. You ready?
Let me get the shame bell in my hand.
All right, who said this?
Uh-huh.
Who said the line, I don't care what you want, drink? So was that Yara Greyjoy or Bill Cosby?
Oh, I think I'm going to get that right. I think it was Yara Greyjoy.
No, you got it wrong. Oh. Shame. It was both.
Here's a question that we asked at the beginning of our Periscope chat. And yes, we Periscope after every episode. His Grace King Joffrey's royal inquiry this week, can Game of Thrones wrap up this story in just 16 more episodes? So there are three more left this season. Next season, the showrunners have proposed to HBO, none of this is official yet, but they've proposed to HBO that they only do 7 episodes next year and then only 6 the following season, 8th and final season. So that's 16 more episodes. Can this Game of Thrones story wrap up in just 16 episodes? Reached out on our Facebook page, on Twitter, and got a lot of great responses. Michael, on the Facebook page, since the idea of truncated seasons comes from the showrunners, not from HBO, I'm guessing they have a plan to do so. How much of Joffrey's return will have to be left out is the real question. Now, Michael, you want people to watch these final two seasons. Let's not disappoint everybody. And of course, Benji on Facebook said HBO had to cut King Joffrey's epic feast. Well, that does go on about 12 pages in the book, so as much as it hurts me, I would be willing to put that aside. Now, a couple people were doubtful that HBO can end this show in just 16 episodes. A good friend from Australia, Peter, who's at Baga2007, he finds it hard to imagine because they still have a lot to cover, and maybe they might be able to do it if they had another season that actually went 26 episodes. And of course, our good buddy TJ Tim Hines, he says, look, they have no choice unless they plan on the episodes being 2 hours each. And if you've seen the news recently, you know that the episode 10 of season 6 will be the longest episode ever of a Game of Thrones episode. So they are trying to fit everything in, Tim. Jake Ponser believes they can do it. He writes, they've definitely picked up the pace this season, and I think there'll be some major Empire Strikes Back-esque cliffhangers at the end of this season to get us hyped for those final episodes. I.e., maybe the wall comes down, Cersei gets sentenced to death after her trial, and maybe Jon's parentage would be revealed. Andrew on Facebook said, he thinks that they can do it so long as they don't try to get everyone to the wall, all the characters to the wall, for what we assume is going to be a big battle with those White Walkers and the Night King. Andrew says that would take too long. It depends how much of a fight they want between the forces of the living and the Night King. Tammy on Twitter agrees. She says, at the rate that the showrunners condense and alter storylines, they will have no problem. Whether the overall story will suffer as a result remains to be seen, but she votes yes. And she says, luckily, we'll all have the books to complete the story. And that thought process that Tammy's talking about, where she thinks they can do it, but maybe the showrunners might mess it up. We had a lot of people. We had Sir Maxier on Twitter. They wrote, yeah, they can do it, but they doubt it'll be 100% satisfying. The books have the same problem, he believes. More time, but way more story to clear up. our good friend Double L at Grumpy Gobert 13. He tweeted out, yes, they'll be able to finish in 16 episodes, but it'll be a jumbled mess that leaves book readers and show watchers frustrated and unsatisfied, which sadly our good friend The Hound Pants, that's at Hunt Pants on Twitter, says, at the rate that the show is murdering characters this season, perhaps they'll be able to do it, but she won't believe that it'll be as satisfying as it is in the books. And of course, Graham on Twitter, he came up with a great way they could kill a lot of characters. He says, just send the sand snakes in to kill everybody. It worked in Dorne. Now, some people who are a bit more positive on the outcome include Ricky Young on Facebook. He said, if and when the White Walkers breach the wall, things will get kicked into overdrive. He believes King's Landing is winding down and the focus is shifting north. True Double L Sean Gregan, who's at Hey Ref on Twitter, he says that at the current rate the show is going, he thinks they can do it in half the time. So, i.e. 8 episodes. Wow, Sean. I'm not so sure. Stephanie Persephone agrees with him. She says she agrees with Sean. At the rate they're flying through these plots, it's going to happen. Hastily, but she thinks it's going to happen. And we'll end it with these two. Lord9 on Twitter, who's at 9th_Prince, they write, as long as the showrunners completely ignore the books, The Winds of Winter and The Dream of Spring, there's no way that stuff is included, since here in Season 6, we're still getting stuff from A Feast for Crows and Dance with Dragons. And let's all end on the positive note of our good friend Jonathan Teglin, who's at Teglin Jonathan on Twitter. He says he finds it hard to believe, but he has faith in the showrunners D&D, Dan and Dave.
Catfish, one of the things Season 6 has really given people very minimal love, but the audience seems to love,
right,
is Breedmund or Torian.
Got
people
it.
Love Tormund and Brienne, and we've had a couple of people say that when Tormund was in this episode, he had double Bs.
Double Bs?
Blue balls, because Brienne wasn't around to talk about
it. Oh, man.
And we got a question on Periscope that asked, it says, what are the odds that Brienne can get her last crush, Jaime, to fight the Boltons? They cut off his hand.
Oh, that's a good question, so, by BTMac11.
Love it. So Brienne is headed to Riverrun, where Jaime is. She is headed there to theoretically get the Blackfish to have some men go up and fight those evil Boltons. And this person is offering a better call of, well, maybe she doesn't get the Blackfish, or maybe she gets him, but either way, maybe is there any way she could get Jaime to go up there and fight the Boltons, who he shouldn't love, since it was a Bolton man, Locke, who cut off his hand way back in Season 3.
Well, I would say maybe she could engage him in that if he didn't have a number of other concerns weighing on him. I think he's like, you know what, I'll be happy to do that after I take care of these three other issues I have to take care of. One, I got to get Blackfish out of this castle. Two, I got to win my way back to Cersei and take charge of this situation.
You would think that the show and the story is setting it up so they're going to be on opposite sides. The next on Game of Thrones hints at this. Like, hey, Jaime, I'm here for the Blackfish. I need him to fight up north. So, we will have to see.
What's interesting, our old but new friend, Fort Worth Vikes fan, says the Boltons betrayed the crown and Joffrey. Now, while the Boltons are up there messing around, Jaime's got more serious problems to take care of, and that is that his slover.
Sister lover, his slover. I like that.
His slover, Cersei, is in danger. So that is of primary importance to him. Right now, I don't think he could get really two figs for the throne.
Oh.
I mean, if he's down here doing this,
right,
because this is, the only way he can get back, he's got to take care of business here. I mean, he's down here, I guess he might as well do the work, right?
Right. He wants to clean this up quickly so he can get back to his sister. Let's not forget, I was talking about Dorne. We haven't seen it since the first episode. Theoretically, somebody should go down there and clean it up, especially after what they did to his daughter, Marcella. So, tough call.
I'll say this. Yeah. Let's just say, Jamie's got 99 problems and the Boltons ain't one.
We had a new Twitter follower slash tweeter out to get into the contest. They tweeted out with the hashtag Joffrey Podcast, and it's from John
I'm going to say Wambacher.
Wambacher, who's at Sundial Framing on Twitter, and they said they watched the Joffrey Podcast for their first Periscope of the podcast, but watching us, it's more like Wayne's World.
So oh, man.
Wayne's World had higher production values than we've got, John.
And those guys make a lot of more money than we do at this.
That's true. Party time. Excellent. Our good friend Stephanie Persephone, who's at SM Persephone on Twitter, she loves the awesomely intricate and colorful Lannister armor versus the dismal plain black gray Frey outfits and the helmet
those
hats.
Those Freys are broke ass.
Comparing the Lannister helmets versus those Frey hats, it's a great contrast, she says. You hate the Freys for what they did at the Red Wedding, but as far as watching them on TV, they are fun to watch. They are fun to hate.
Jamie did really bring his Sunday best armor, though, for his parlay. He said, Squire, give me my Sunday best.
He was telling the phrase, when the Blackfish now looks across the river, he'll see a real army and a sharp-dressed man. Now, somebody called the phrase double D's.
Double D's?
Dinghy douches. Oh.
Oh, no.
Is that how they're going to use a dinghy to get over to the river run? Oh, that's not nice.
Oh, man. That is cold. That is cold. People on Periscope think that Stephanie Persephone's comment was top-notch.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I say this every week, but you can always talk to us and get your questions in for the feedback show on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TheWordDouble, the letter P, the single letter P, then the word podcast, plural, facebook.com/DoublePodcast. And we got more comments about those Frey hats, Catfish.
BT Mac 11 says Freys wear CCs.
Double Cs.
Yeah. Cranium condoms.
Yeah. They don't offer much protection.
And that's because the ladies always poke holes in them.
I'm telling mother.
Time for some double B book bitching. Everybody knows I have read all the books in George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire saga, and I get tough on them occasionally, but I also get tough on the television show as well. Maybe I'm just a single B, a bitch. But here I thought I'd break down some of the double B book bitching I've been hearing out there on the interwebs this week. A lot of people have been really upset about this supposed members of the Brotherhood Without Banners who destroyed Brother Ray and the Hound's idyllic village there at the end of Episode 7, The Broken Man. Mainly because these characters, the Brotherhood, were so great in the third season. And while the books imply there might be some turns to darkness, there's probably nothing as savage as slaughtering a bunch of completely innocent sept builders. And this character, the leader on the TV show, sure enough, is wearing a yellowish/lemon cloak. And his character on the show is Lem, which corresponds to a character Lem Lemon Cloak in the book. And people are like, well, what's going on here? Why are the Glovers up north being so mean to Jon and Sansa? Doesn't the North remember? And so I want to take us all back a couple of seasons to things that had happened in the past. If we all go back to season 3, Jon Snow was with Ygritte and the Wildlings as they climbed over the wall. And there were some things added into the climb over the wall. Specifically, the warg/skin changer Orel, who saw into that eagle, he cut a rope and let Ygritte and Jon fall on the show, which he never did in the books. Also on the show, he was a bit of a creeper. He was like, Ygritte, leave that crow and make out with me. And these were changes, and let's just be honest, why did the show make these changes? Because they knew the end result was Jon Snow was going to kill Orel, and you didn't want Jon Snow, one of the heroes of your show, to end up killing some innocent guy who's really just trying to escape the White Walkers by climbing over the wall. Instead, he's going to kill this a-hole who cut him and let him and Ygritte possibly fall to their death. Similarly, in the fourth season, we were introduced to the Thens, which on the show became evil, scarred, bald cannibals, which they are definitely not in the books. Once again, why did they make such a change? Well, I honestly believe because of the end of that season, they knew their hero, Jon Snow, needed to kill one of them. You want your hero to do heroic things, so it's important your hero ends up slaughtering an evil villain. And what could be worse than a freaking cannibalistic a-hole? Similarly, just last season, season 5, Arya got another name crossed off her list when she killed Ser Meron Trant. Now, Ser Meron had killed Cereo Forel, and he had been a real jerk all these seasons long. But really, what had Ser Meron Trant done that was necessarily worse than what the Hound had done? The Hound back in season 1, by killing the Butcher's Boy, that was arguably worse than what Ser Meron did when he killed Cereo Forel. Cereo Forel was an adult who actually had a weapon, or a wooden weapon, some sort of fighting chance, where the Butcher's Boy didn't have one. The Hound had been a jerk, Meron Trant had been a jerk, but the Hound had been redeemed in the audience's eyes where Meron Trant couldn't. So if Arya is going to brutally kill this guy, he's got to be a complete a-hole and be a pedophile who likes beating up kids. So then the audience is okay with Arya going Quentin Tarantino on his ass. So let's talk about these changes we've noticed in season 6 from the books. Well, the Glovers and some of these northern houses fell victim to a show mistake that the show writers put themselves in. The show writers, and I feel a silly move, but anyway, what they did with Sansa Stark in season 5 by marrying her to Ramsay via Littlefinger, they created a situation where Sansa could never trust Littlefinger again, would never want his help, wouldn't want to be around him. They created that situation. And so now, theoretically, they need in season 6 to create a reason why she would look for Littlefinger's help, why she would turn to him. When after what happened last season, which admittedly was their creation, it wasn't a book creation, but they created something last season where she wouldn't trust him at all. And so they needed to create a reason why Sansa would write to Littlefinger, could look to this SOB who sold her to the Boltons. So that was one of the reasons. I believe there's actually going to be another reason coming up why you needed these northern houses, a good handful of them, to not remember, as they say, the North remembers. Similarly, let's go to the Umbers. And this character who turned over Rickon and Osha back in the 3rd episode of this season, the small John Umber, he's dead in the books. But why in the world would you have the Umbers, who are one of the most Stark loyalist houses of the North, why would you turn them into such traitors to the Starks in many ways? Well, I can't go into all the reasons why I think that is, but I certainly in my own mind, I could see the thought process being, we've got Jon and Davos and Tormund and 1-1. We've got all these familiar faces on the Stark side. With Ramsay having killed his father, Roose Bolton, technically, we were down to his face and his only face as the recognizable face on the Bolton side. You needed to create characters who could be on the Bolton side who our heroes could fight. Recognizable faces, not have them just constantly fight extras. So, if I had to guess, both this Karstark who's on the show and this Umber on the show are there really so that when the big battle comes and if you look at episode titles, it feels like it's going to come in week 9. Our heroes have faces that the television audience knows, and let's be honest, the television audience hates, that they'll be battling against. It may be frustrating that the show is taking these characters in the books, like the Glovers and the Umbers, who book readers may love, and turning them to villainous slash disappointing characters on the show. But there's always a logical reason for them, even if the reason doesn't turn out to be good. And I, as I said at the top of this segment, I attack the show an awful lot. But I would imagine this is why this and some of the other things that have happened in the show is the showrunners are trying to set up scenarios, which they need to, for the season to end. All right, so Catfish, it's time for what we like to call Better Call Calls. That's where we predict
what's going to happen. To be honest, when we've been answering our LL loyal listeners' questions, we're giving a lot of calls. We're calling a lot of things that are going to happen. But I think we have to go on a deep dive for this one.
Oof.
So.
Double D.
Double D.
Deep dive.
Better call call. So let's hear it.
All right.
Arya, does she kill Jack and Hagar? Or, dare I say it, destroy the House of Black and White? That's the only way I see her getting out of it. So my better call is not only that she kills the waif, but she realizes these faceless people are going to be coming after me for always. So F this, I will destroy.
And she realizes to get rid of the entire House of Black and White, all she got to do is kill two people.
So I'm not sure. I really don't think that could slash would happen, but I'm trying to figure out a way in my own head how Arya could get out of this trouble. So that's going to be one of my better call calls for this week. I'm calling it Jaqen, or a man who called himself Jaqen H'ghar. He's gone.
He's done.
What do you like? What do you think for a better call?
Gosh. Wow. That is amazing. Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go back to something we haven't seen for a while.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that Gendry.
Right.
Gendry picks up Sam and Gilly. Okay.
And then I like where this is going.
And then they hook up with the Greyjoys.
Oh, wait. Which, I assume you mean Yara and Theon.
Yeah, Yara and Theon.
Okay. I'm totally buying this Better Call Call.
Yeah.
Now, currently, Yara and Theon are headed to Meereen, which is pretty far away from where we last saw Gendry rowing and where Sam and Gilly are right now. But sure. Okay. What?
It has been a long time since we've seen Gendry.
Okay.
Okay. So he's ready.
He's ready.
And he's just going to grab Sam and Gilly.
Right.
And the baby. And then there's going to be three people rowing. They're going to row super quick. And they're going to join. And then we're going to have Valyrian steel and dragons together.
Okay. Now we're going to take one here from the chat room that says, their better call, Hot Pie wins next season of Top Chef.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Yes, you always have to worry, as Hun Pen says, about, you have to worry about gentrification. Gentrification.
Oh, boy, that lost us some followers right there. You're right. Okay, so now, Catfish, I want to go to a dangerous place for a lot of the listeners on a Better Call Call.
Okay.
This season, we've lost two. Count them, two direwolves. That means there are only two direwolves left. Jon Snow's direwolf ghost, and that one we haven't seen since the second episode of season one, Arya's direwolf Nymeria. Let's take it this way. Will we see Nymeria, who we haven't seen in so long this season, or will Ghost die? Which one could happen?
One of those things are going to happen?
I'm asking. I want to know, as a better call, it has to be about the direwolves. Those are two possible options I'll give you to pick. You can come up with your own. Let's hear a direwolf better call.
Okay, all right. So we're watching Game of Thrones, right?
Okay.
So the question you're asking me
I see
is whether Arya is going to successfully and happily reunite with her direwolf versus the show killing off another direwolf.
Yep, the way you phrased it right now is going to disappoint a lot of people.
If I had to choose one of those things, it would be the death of another direwolf.
Oh, which one? Ghost or Nymeria? Or both?
It's going to be Ghost.
Okay.
Who knows when we'll see Nymeria again? I mean, Nymeria is roaming around up there.
Someone tweeted in, they said, Ghost, what is dead may never die. So Ghost is going to take on a Ironborn chant of the drowned god. We have somebody else say, long live Ghost, and people are agreeing with it.
I know.
I will go this way. I'll say it like this. My better call, Direwolf edition, and don't hate the messenger or the predictor in this case. I don't have sight like Bran does. I'm not touching a weirwood tree right now, a weirwood root. I'm going to say, yes, we will see Nymeria this season, and no, Ghost will not get out of this season alive. Someone in Periscope said, don't say it. I apologize. But The one thing the show has always had trouble with is, unlike a dragon, which is a completely CGI creature, which they sometimes do great, sometimes have trouble with.
Right.
They have always done the direwolves by using real animals. In the very first season, they actually used dogs. And in the first season, they just had all sorts of trouble working with these dogs. In fact, there was the scene where the dog charges across the table at Winterfell and bites off the Great John Umber's fingers, because the Great John is talking smack to Rob.
Mm-hmm.
They could never get the dog to do it. They spent hours trying to get the dog to do it. So finally, they just threw a stuffed animal at him, and the shot is so quick, that's all it took.
And then
they switched to these actual wolves
to
composite in.
Right.
But it has been so tricky. Sometimes they've composited in great. Sometimes it's real difficult. And I honestly think that the show is just given up. It's just too difficult for them to do. And so I could see them killing another direwolf this season. And it would have to be the one we've seen recently, Ghost. So that is a terrible Better Call Call direwolf prediction. But
Why do we even need to bring it up, though? BT Mac11's comment that Nymeria ran into Michael Vick in the Riverlands. And that is, for those of you who know who Michael Vick is, that is the blackest of black humor. So I'm going to try to switch over to something a little bit funnier. I'm going to switch over to some tweets that we got from our great double L's loyal listener, Patman23. And I just want to read a few of his tweets.
Great.
He read tonight after the show. He said, who should the Faith get as their champion to take on the Mountain?
Who?
Lady Lyanna Mormont, of course.
She would do well. The Mountain would get very frustrated listening to her, I think.
He also says Lyanna Mormont would make a better king than Queen Tommen.
Oh, that is so good. Heck yeah. Retweet that.
That is good. And then he also says, why does the Waif dislike Arya? She's clearly a fan of his grace and wants to eliminate double S's.
Double S's.
Cerly Starks.
Hey, now.
She is... And he says, the Waif is straightening the unstraighteners.
Heck yeah.
Oh, that is so good.
All right, so Catfish, that's going to wrap it up for our feedback episode. We want to thank everybody who stayed up late with us on this Periscope to get in their thoughts. Everybody who's tweeted at us, remember, you can get your thoughts in to our feedback episode. Go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/PPodcast. And leave us some thoughts there, your thoughts, or you can tweet them out with the hashtag Joffrey Podcast. We'll get them into the show. Now, Catfish, as we go to the very end,
yes,
we're going to have to cover a tweet that we got in. And so this tweet,
this person, he
was upset with me because I always talk about the opening credits. And in the opening credits this week,
he wasn't upset. He was just wondering, like we all are, why you're so obsessed with them.
Well, I want them to kind of make sense. Like, we have episodes where we go, for example, to the Eyrie.
Right.
Or the area near the Eyrie. And sometimes the animation will appear in the opening of that episode, and sometimes it wouldn't. Last week, in the sixth episode of the season, we went to the Twins, and we know they have that animation.
Right.
But they didn't show it up. It didn't come up in the opening credits. So it just drives me batty. I wish there was some sort of logic to it. So this
now
person,
you talked about this in last week's
feedback,
and that one of the TV writers you followed was also interested in the same situation.
Right. The opening credits, why does it go one way or another? And so I actually even explained this last week in the feedback show. So I want to get to this person who's Rob, who's at Shardykins. He also asked me a question. He said,
okay, whoa, I didn't hear that in the last one. Okay, what did he ask you?
He asked, he said, and Bubba, you're kind of a dick to your co-host Catfish. then he said, period, great show. So
do you think what he's saying is, keep up the good work being a dick?
I'm going to try. Well, what I responded back in a tweet to Shardykins was, I was like, I love Catfish. And on last week's podcast, so if he was talking about last week's podcast, our recap of Blood of My Blood, Catfish, you bring great humor. You bring great insight. You had this great point in last week's episode about how it was very interesting that in an episode where Sam's evil father, Randall Tarley, would say, ugh, Sam, only hunting rabbits, you're not a real man, that later on, Cold Hands Benjen would be cooking a rabbit, and it was this great counterpoint to, like, you're not a real man. Well, Benjen, he may not be a real man anymore because he's a dead man, but he's still a real warrior, and he's hunting rabbits. And I thought you were so brilliant in that point. But occasionally, you make some mistakes. And so what I was telling to Shardy Kins was, I was like, it's not that I get frustrated with catfish. I get frustrated with things I want to edit out. Because if you listen to Game of Thrones podcasts, and if you read Game of Thrones podcast reviews, right, let me tell you something. The one thing listeners hate, these guys don't know what they're talking about. These guys don't know what they're talking about. So when you joke like Sir Knuckles, that's great. Everybody knows you're talking about Davos.
Right.
Very funny. People love that. But when you occasionally mess up some of the facts of the show, that just means I actually edit them out. So what ends up happening is I edit out your mistake, but it's not quite as easy sometimes to edit out my oh gosh, good grief. And so I will try in the future. I will try in the future, listeners, to edit out my good grief a bit more.
Well, now our friends at Geek Girl Soup made a suggestion for that tonight.
Let's hear it.
Their suggestion was, I don't have it in front of me, but I remember it. They said, why don't you let me edit it, and then that won't ever happen again. If you make me edit it, I won't allow those kinds of mistakes to creep in, because then I'll be like, oh, I'm going to have to take care of that.
All right. So, hey, it has been fun having you guys with us this whole time, and you can catch us next Sunday for a new episode of Game of Thrones entitled No One. You'll catch us for our Periscope recap and on our podcast that comes out Monday morning on the
Joffrey of Podcast. Again,
grin and bear it.
Sam has not even hit that yet.
What do you mean, hit what yet?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, what are you talking about?
Well, he hasn't even made it plausible that he could be the father of young Samwell.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, he has not had conjugal relations with Gilly. I don't believe they've done it.
So Catfish has forgotten season 5, everybody, where Sam and Gilly had conjugal relations after Maester Aemon died, and the people were going to rape Gilly and ghost save them, and then they had sexual relations. That's the kind of knowledge that you come to, that you give us 1-star reviews on.
All right, you can cut that out if you want.
Oh, my Lord.